Welcome to Pioneer Church. We exist to be a gathering of kingdom people with kingdom passions who fulfill Jesus' kingdom purpose. The following message is from our Sunday morning worship gathering. To learn more about Pioneer Church, go online to www.pioneernc.com.
So when I was praying about planting Pioneer Church or allowing the Lord to plant Pioneer Church. I hadn't done anything but try to mess it up, by the way. God's been faithful. But I knew that missions was important, partly because I'd heard that all my life. I heard it in school. When I served in a previous church, we had a big emphasis on missions. And so I knew that it was important, but I didn't really know what my role was in it. As a matter of fact, missions scared me. Because when I was a kid, and a missionary would come to our church and would share about his time overseas, the only thing I really would ever hear is, you live out in the jungle, there's no air conditioning, and everything wants to eat you. That's kind of what my philosophy or what my thoughts of missions was. I was driven by all the dangers of leaving the comfort of Rockingham County and going to a place where I might not make it back. And so for me as a child, missions was a scary thing. It was an intimidating thing. It was one of those things that I knew I was supposed to be a part of somehow, but wasn't really going to get too close. And God, in his great love and providence, began to bring a man into my life. And when y'all see him, y'all are going to wonder what kind of hold he has over people. But he's a very influential man. David Wynn is a member of our church. But he's also a CEO of Love Africa. Love Africa is a ministry that we partner with. And David and Janet started coming to Pioneer during COVID, as a matter of fact. And just kind of got to know them. And David said, so look, have you ever thought about going to Africa? And I said, well, I've thought about not going a lot. But no, I haven't. I said, but I'll be honest with you, we're a church plant, we're new, we're trying to pray about where God would have our church be invested in the world. And he said, well, man, let me just kind of share what God's been doing in Love Africa. And as he started to talk, my heart just began to get stirred. And I began to think, yeah, this is something I could see us being invested in. But now, I got to be honest with you, full transparency. When I said invested, I meant writing them checks, right? Because that's what a lot of us think investment in missions is. We'll send them some money. And so the first thing we did was he told us about some property in the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is a very dangerous place in the world, and they were needing some repairs on a building. And they needed a roof put on the building. I was like, well, man, okay, let's see what we can maybe do. And you guys, this was two years ago, you guys almost fully funded that whole roof to be put on that building. And so I was like, man, we're doing great. You know, we have found our place to be invested in foreign missions. But something just wouldn't leave me alone. It was the Holy Spirit. And he began to say, you can give money, that's okay. But why don't you go see? And so I guess the Holy Spirit was saying the same thing to David, because he began to say, why don't you go see, TJ? I have no desire to go see. I had a pastor friend of mine several years ago that used to say this. I don't know where he heard it from, but he said, I always feel like if I'm flying over a mission field to go to a mission field. And that's how I felt. There's plenty of people who need salvation right here in Rockingham County, and that's true. But the Holy Spirit wouldn't leave me alone. And so David said, so here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to do something that's never been done before. We're trying to go to a refugee settlement in Uganda and train pastors. And I was like, that's right up my alley, man. That's what I want to do. That's what I love to do. And so he got my big tail on a plane. And in 16 hours, we were in Uganda. And folks, my life was changed. And you've heard that story about coming back from that first trip. We had 50 pastors and their wives there, and we thought it was amazing. The story of these folks in this refugee settlement is unbelievable. You may hear some of those today. But God stirred my heart, and here's what he began to show me. When Jesus said in Acts 1:8, he says, "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses," where? In Jerusalem, that's right here, right? And then where else? In Judea and Samaria, and where else? Into the ends of the earth. Here's what the Holy Spirit started to reveal to me. That word in there is not Jerusalem or Judea or the ends of the earth. What did he say? "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and into the ends of the earth." And so what I began to see was that missions is not something that I get to pick and choose what I'm a part of. And so I began to continue to work, and the pastors in Changwali were just incredibly encouraged. And so David said, we're gonna get another one together in the fall. And so this was October, and I was like, I've already been to Africa once this year. There's no way I can go twice in a year, right? I was thinking this might be a once-in-a-lifetime thing for me. But I found myself on a plane again in October of 2023, going back to 150 pastors and their wives. And so, man, I don't know if you've ever felt this, and I didn't intend to stand up here this long, but I don't know if you've ever tried to talk to people about Jesus around here and felt like it was just kind of hitting a wall. Have you ever sat in front of somebody and shared Jesus with them and they were eating up every word you said? That's powerful. If you've never experienced that, I don't want it to ever be because you never had the chance. And so here's what we're going to do this morning. This time in October, myself and two ladies joined David. David came a little later on this trip. But we boarded a plane, made a 16-hour trip again to go back to the same place. What is so cool about this is the ladies that joined me this time had never been on a mission trip outside of the country. And so they're going to share a little bit of their story with you today and share a little bit about what God did and what you guys did here at home to help prepare for that to happen. And then David's going to share some stuff. But I want to let you know, next week, you're going to hear from them today, but next week, the Lord laid a message on my heart that I want to share with you about missions. And my desire is for you and I to have a paradigm shift about missions and what it's really about, okay? And so I just want you to give these folks your attention. They're going to share, and then David's going to come. He's got some things he'd like to share with you, and then we'll be dismissed. So who's going to start? Sandy? Y'all coming together. All right. Well, come on up here, ladies. Sandy and Mama Tony were the two ladies that decided to join us on this trip this year. And they were responsible for training the women in this conference. And so they're going to share this with you. So here's your clicker back and forth there.
You better get that to your mama.
Okay.
A clicker.
There you go. All right, ladies, go ahead.
I know. I'm kind of techno savvy.
How we are.
Not savvy. Okay. One thing that I can tell you about the mission trip, you know, we heard it talked about, and we prayed about it while David and what is your name? TJ. We're over there. Of course, we prayed about it. And then it came, they were going to do it again. And one of the things that was laid on my heart was, for all my life, I had felt like I needed to do something outside my comfort zone. And this was definitely outside my comfort zone. I had no desire to go to Africa. That is outside, you know, if I think Africa, I think of the Ashboro Zoo. That's close enough for me. But this was just laid on my heart, and I thought about it, and I couldn't stop thinking about it, and prayed about it, and I finally said, you know, I'm going to go. I'm going to go. I was on fire.
We just jerked the microphone back and forth across from each other. It works. Don't worry about it. When we get to fighting over the microphone, and then David has to say, cut it off. If you wonder where TJ got his fear of Africa, it's me. My call to go on this trip actually happened about 10 years before it ever came to fruition. I was going to another church, and I loved to chaperone the youth trips over to Gatlinburg and the little day trips and go down on the corner and hand out stuff and talk to people. But when the missions director at the church I was attending approached me one day and just bluntly said, "Have you ever thought about going on an overseas mission trip?" And so I sanctimoniously said, "Overseas missions aren't for me." And I got in the car, and the Holy Spirit, God, Holy Spirit said, "If I tell you to go, girl, you better go." You know, nothing else happened for 10 years. And then I met David Wynn, and my baby went to Africa in the spring, and I sat on pins and needles till he got back home. But then the call became personal to me. So God was working way before it ever happened. So then we were faced with a lot of questions, and so I'm going to let Sandy tell you about her questions and the things that she was afraid of in this trip.
Well, my questions were just, you know, are we going to have a bathroom? Where can I take a shower? What can I do about my hair? You know, all the stuff that really doesn't matter. And we were fairly comfortable. We were in a dorm type room, and it was a blessing because we got to know seven more women who were absolutely God-filled, and it just overflowed, and it overflowed to us. And we hope we gave a little bit to them as well.
More? You got more to say?
I got no more.
Okay. I wanted to talk to you just a little bit about the fears, you know, that we experienced. I was knocking on the door of being 70 years old, a little overweight. So I started hanging out all these fleeces as we began to prepare for the trip. You know, you had to have a doctor's approval to get that yellow fever shot. And then they wanted you to have a rabies vaccine because a monkey might come down and bite you on your shoulder and you would need a rabies vaccine. That was a whole nother story. I hadn't even thought about the monkeys. You know, I was thinking the elephants and giraffes and stuff like that, but not the monkeys. But don't worry, never got bit by a monkey one time. But I did wrestle with all these fears. Sandy'd say, "Are you going?" I don't know. You know, just back and forth kind of thing. And then came for me the surrender. Now, she was doing fine. She had her bags packed. She was ready to go. But I was still just dragging behind. You know, no hot water, a mosquito net. What's that for? You know, and I just finally came to grips with the real fact was, sometimes people go on a mission trip and they get on an airplane and they fly and fly and fly and maybe they don't come home. And I had already experienced that about worrying about my baby, and now it was me that was having that problem thinking about that. So I realized that it got down to, was I willing to give my life if I knew that was what God wanted me to do?
Well, I never thought about dying, y'all. I was planning on going over there and coming on back. But I kind of had the come to Jesus moment too. I was like, well, if the plane goes down, if this happens, this happens. I thought, well, I ain't going to die a day before my time. So if that's my time, it's my time. But God was good, and he showed up in the details, because I was gung-ho, man. Once I decided I was going to go, I don't know, it was months ahead of time, I started packing suitcases, y'all. I was begging people to carry suitcases for me. I think I sent five. Y'all, what do we need five suitcases over there for? But we used every bit of it. We used every bit of it. And the God, as David pointed out, that was God. Because it was something come up, and I would think, oh, I better put that in there. I better put that in there. So whatever challenge came up for us, we had it in them suitcases. Now, I couldn't take five suitcases myself, so poor TJ over here. And poor Tony and all were carrying suitcases for us. But we did use it all. And God showed up in the details in another way. I was ready to go. I was bought in. I was practically on the plane. And Tony was dragging her feet like, I just don't know if I can go. I'm old. And I'm like, what am I, y'all? But she finally bought in. A few weeks before we had to commit, she was like, okay, I am going. I am going. Well, I want y'all to know that that's when the fear hit me. And I was like, well, I don't know if we need to go or not. We done paid all this money, but I don't know. And you know what? She was on there tapping my shoulder and hugging me, going, we're going to be all right, girl. We're going to do our job. We're going to show up and show out. But we showed up, we showed out, but God showed out. Let me tell you.
Definitely. That was another part of the breaking in me, was to humble myself, to say, you know, I'm a senior citizen on a fixed income. I can't afford this trip. And God said, have you asked anybody to help you? Well, God, I don't need to do that for a mission trip. I kind of figure that's frivolous. And he said, oh, really? You know, so I did write letters, and some of you were so gracious. You were one of those fleeces that I hung out and said, God, now I can't do this trip if you don't provide this. And he did. As Sandy said, he showed up and showed out. But I thought of one more thing when Sandy was talking about packing the bag. I had this bright idea that I was going to put 2 days worth of clothes in a little backpack and everything I needed, and I was going to go flitting through that airport. I started going to aerobics so I could walk and breathe at the same time. Did not realize when we got to the airport that that backpack weighed approximately 50 pounds. It didn't really, but it felt like it. And I got to clear up something. I told a church we shared with before that my son wouldn't carry it. But he wouldn't carry my backpack because he was carrying Sandy's suitcase. So he couldn't carry but so much. And think about that. When you fill a big old backpack full of clothes and you're wide like me and you go down the line of the airplane and you have to turn this way and your backpack's back here, and you're knocking these people's heads off. And they're looking at you like, lady, would you go sit down? You know, and so that part was, I don't know, you know, I don't know. So that was all part of the worry. One more thing, I promise I'll give it back to you. This, my husband's not here today, so I'm going to tell this on him. I was worried that, you see, he doesn't wash clothes. I was worried that he would run out of underclothes while we were gone. And he would be in, you know, whatever it took to worry yourself about, I did. So David helped us with that. You know, I mentioned that to David. So David tells Dennis one morning, all right, when you get through the clean ones, you turn them inside out and put them on. And he said, then when that's all worked out, you just don't wear any. So that problem was solved. God took care of all the details.
I can still see her coming through the airport with that thing. Mine was probably 40 pounds. And fortunately, there was some Love Africa folks there from various parts of the United States, mostly from one of them was from Mebane, and the other one was from Louisiana, the young guys. And I look at Sam, they're about your age or a little bit older, and they volunteered a little bit to help us. But we were both like this and like this. And we felt our age, but we all made it. So if you think age is a problem, it's not. It's not. It's an excuse. And we found out when we were teaching the ladies group or leading the ladies group that all of us were about 70. I'm 67, y'all. Not quite 70. My hair makes me look even older. But we worried and we examined ourselves, and we were all lacking. We were lacking. So prayer held us up, got us through the plane ride. And even the plane ride, y'all, God showed up. And sometimes we didn't see it till we got into the quiet times and we thought about it. And some of it I don't think we saw till we got home and we compared notes. And we didn't sit together, y'all. None of us really sit together. And he showed up in the details because you wouldn't believe who would sit down beside us. Someone who was so far outside of my comfort zone and Tony's comfort zone, but it wound up. We were winded up sharing about God, and come to find out they were fellow believers. And these were, you know, from countries who should not have been believers. They should have been more Muslim, but they would share their pictures of their family and talk about how God had worked in theirs. And when we're on there one time and we were very tired, I never can sleep on the airplane, so I was looking a mess. More than even now, and I'm sitting there trying to make it, and here's TJ with a guy across the aisle from him, and they are sharing the gospel back and forth, just back and forth, and I'm like, I am in church right here, right now, and everybody around it can hear it, and we are all listening, and he shows up. He just showed up in the details.
One other thing that I thought about in our director of the trip sent out lots of encouraging emails, and he began a couple of weeks or a month or so before the trip to talk to us, as Sandy said, about examining ourselves. And that meant get alone with God and say, show me, Lord, what I need to do to be prepared for this trip. And we knew that we would be sharing Matthew chapter 5, which is the Beatitudes, with our job was with the ladies. TJ and the guys were working with the pastors, and we got the opportunity to be with the pastors' wives. And it had been a long time since I had really paid a lot of attention to the Beatitudes. And I just always thought it meant, you know, blessed are you if you've lost somebody and you cry and you mourn. And I came to see that meant when I saw within myself an emptiness, when I saw within myself a place where God needed to fill me. And so before I ever got off the ground, he was already working on my heart, preparing me for that. And I had no idea how to do it because, you know, we didn't speak the same language. And just jumping ahead to the first time that I saw one of the African ladies and we made eye contact, my hand had to go to her face. And I had her face in both my hands, and it was like I had known her all my life. She'd walked to get there that day. And she had on her best clothes, and she was so excited, and she was ready to worship God. And I thought, Lord, who am I that you have given me this opportunity to even be in the same room with these ladies? It didn't matter that we didn't even have to speak. It was like all of it was going from one spirit to the other, you know, where the Bible talks about your spirit bears witness to people. And so, you know, that was just priceless. I want to just kind of get this story going on still, because all we've talked about mostly is what happened before we ever got there. So that, you know, was not anything compared to the trip. But a calmness did come over us, and that was the Holy Spirit. But it was amazing to me how the Lord used us to encourage each other. And when we got together with the team, oh my goodness, they were ladies from all over the place, and they had stories. And one other thing that we were upset about, I think they probably told us this to get us to go, that we were going to have our own room. And we kind of thought that own room was going to have a bathroom in it. That ain't true. When we got there, the men got the rooms, and you know us ladies got a little huffy about that. What do you mean they get the rooms and we're in the dorm room with the beds and you know, the twin beds, bunk beds? But if we had not been in that situation, if we'd been in separate rooms, we'd have never shared each other's lives. We would have never shared what God had done within the team that he had put together before we even got to the ladies. And just another word about my baby turned 40 while he was there. And nothing will ever be the gift for me that it was to watch him stand with a bunch of other pastors. They were black and white and red and yellow and all that, but they shared a common goal, and they were like iron sharpening iron, y'all. What was going on that plane with that other pastor? And you'd see them standing around and in little groups talking together. They weren't talking about the weather. They weren't talking about the food. They were talking about the Lord Jesus, and they didn't waste any time. And I got to see that. God gave me that opportunity. So I'm talking too much. Here's your turn.
It's hard to follow that up. But we may want to put on some, yes. Get the clicker. Either that, or we may have to get you up here with a clicker. We have Monday morning ladies back there, and I cannot work anything, y'all. So we give it all to Debbie, and she works it all for us. All right, this just kind of tells you a little bit about where we were in the agenda. And currently they're active in Kenya, Rwanda, Uganda, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. And, of course, we were in Chingwali, Uganda, and we also went to Mukono, Uganda. Now, in Chingwali, it was the pastors' conference, the women's conference, and the youth conference. So it wasn't all us just old ladies here and young men. It was, and the men, the pastors, taught the other pastors, and we taught the wives and family members, or led them. Do you want to say something?
Yeah. Oh, wow, there's a button.
Oh, well, y'all, that's just one of the suitcases, yeah. Or a couple of them. I had everything down. I had to sit on them suckers. And we carried all kinds of goodies. I'd always heard if we needed anything, you know, to take it with us. Now, we didn't need no bleed stop and all that stuff, but I am a nurse, you know, so I'm thinking I'm out in the jungle. But we were very safe. We were in a gated compound, and we had plenty to eat. We were very safe, and everyone was very, very friendly. They wanted what we had, and we wanted what they had. So we had an exchange of a great dialogue. So this is when we got to I think it was in Turkey, Istanbul. We met a lot of the other team. Was it Istanbul or Entebbe? Istanbul. And these were, a lot of these were from Washington State. We had South Dakota, Louisiana, Arkansas. And we had traveled with some of these. Over on the left side over here, that first East Coast team, if you see that Amish lady there in the blue, that is me. I had the best time with that, y'all. People come behind me. I thought I had to wear, you know, we wore dresses because that's their custom. They have to have sleeves and all that. So I dressed that way to travel, dummy. If you look at Tony over there, she's dressed appropriately for this. No, I look like an Amish lady because my hair is pulled back and it's hanging down. People come up behind me and go, you know, they're Amish because they don't never cut their hair. So I had this little scarf thing and I stuck it over my head and I really did look Amish then, y'all. Okay, when we finally got there, here's part of our team. And you can see the guy over here holding a little baby, he's an airline pilot for American Airlines. And he just loves the Lord. And you could tell it. The lady down here on the bottom has Rebecca. She is actually leading the ladies' team in March. March 13th, they're leading out. So, and she has such a heart for the Lord and such a story. If we could ever get her up here, I would be a blessing. Over here is Lane Boggs, who was the leader of our of the male team. And then who was, what's his name again? Moses. Should remember that, y'all. He is kind of one of the leaders over Chingwali. Okay, everything kind of goes through him. She flipped back. We had a little build in there. I was going to tell you that when the guys had talked about needing a building and a place to meet, that one of Lane Boggs' church gave $80,000 and built a building for a pastor's conference over there. $80,000 don't buy much over here, but it buys quite a bit over there. So there's a place for the pastor's conference now. And that it was cleaned up before the pastor's conference. They were working on it the whole time. Now, this is the women's conference part. We were in a very much smaller room. I think we all told reached about 50 women during this. And as you can over here in the left side over here, that's Chingwali. And you see a lot of the ladies there. And we didn't have to worry about it being a language barrier because there was always an interpreter there. And a lot of them spoke English. And the children all spoke English. There were young people that went with us as well. And they served with the youth and helped out with them. And we also had people who showed up with babies. And we had girls who took those babies and loved on them.
One more thing there. There were two things that they would fight over in Africa. The first one was a Bible. If they heard there was a box of Bibles there and they hadn't come out, they wanted to know where they were. The other thing, there was a fence, of course, around our compound, and there were children walking that fence all the time. And they would yell out, sweets, sweets. And what's the word for Mzulu, it was a white person. They might have candy. They might have sweets. So that was really
yeah, they were always musuko, musuko, sweets, sweets. And the other page we had, that was the women's conference at Mekona. Over here on the right here, this is the ladies cooking for us. Now, that's a school room. And they cook. They have like one little fire, and they're cooking things for us, and they actually went and got hamburger for us, y'all, because somebody got some meat stuck in their teeth, and they didn't want us to have to try to pick it out. So they were all so accommodating. This is Miss Frida over here on the right. She and her husband are in charge of the school. He is also the minister for the Mekano, the Champions Christian School. But They were so sweet and so accommodating. Over here, they were outside washing dishes. That was in Changwali. Go ahead.
Let me add one thing, one word, and that is goat. I had goat. Goat is only as good as the sauce that it's cooked in. If you got good sauce, the goat is good. If the goat is roasted in a pit, now this is just my opinion, but if it's roasted in the pit, it needs some sauce. That's just all there is to it. So, but they were gracious in how they prepared food for us. This picture here is the night they roasted the goat, and it was such a sweet time. But we had a lot of potatoes, fried potatoes. Sometimes it would be some rice. But basically, you had the same thing every meal, and you would sit there and dream about a cheeseburger while you were eating those things, because you know they had given so much of themselves. I did learn to have green beans with carrots cooked in them. You need to try it. It's great. But it was seasonings that, you know, I don't know anything about that made the food such an experience.
I didn't eat no goat, y'all. I brought one suitcase full of food, y'all. This old fat girl ain't going to go without too long. But I will tell y'all, full disclosure here, I'm on a diet now. So the communion wafers need to be hidden. Just be careful. All right, this is when we were headed to Makona. If you look at this stuff, these are like typical houses. Some of them were a little nicer than this. A lot of them were not that nice. They were outside cooking. As you can see, look at that power line up there. Do you wonder why the power goes off about every day? For just a little while. But the power lines and the streets and the infrastructure a lot are not up to our standards. Let's put it like that. But like I said, the people were all welcoming. And this is at Champion Christian School. And those are a couple of our girls who worked with the children. And they did crafts with them and taught them about Jesus. And that was them braiding hair and talking about Jesus and trying to share their love with the children. And they definitely did.
One other thing I thought about, the pastor's wives, of course, didn't leave the babies at home with the babysitter. The babies came too. And these young ladies met them and took the baby from them most of the time and kept it most of the day. They gave that baby a bath and washed its clothes and put clean, not that its clothes were dirty or anything. I mean, these people came because they were worshiping and they had on their best. But these young ladies just used that as part of their ministry to make sure these moms had an enjoyable day being able to study the Lord. And sometimes the babies had to come back to eat and all that kind of thing. But these young ladies were such a blessing.
And there were a couple other ladies who actually took an internship over there and about there for about 6 months. So they were wonderful. If you can look at this, it was like, where's my lane? The traffic, there is no real traffic pattern. You just kind of, you know, like rip and roar and go down there. And I was just like, kept my eyes shut a lot of the time, but they seemed to do well. We didn't see any accidents.
You have to be really sleepy to sleep through this kind of traffic maneuver. I mean, it was just exciting to see what was going to happen next.
And you can see the motorcycles there, and they call them Botabotas. So all people had these little Botabotas, and we saw as many as 5 people on a Botabota, y'all. And one I saw was coming. There was only 3 on there. It was mom and dad and the baby right up there between the handlebars. The seat's a little bit wider or a little longer, too. And then after we kind of got through our stuff, we went to back to Entebbe as we were getting ready to come back home. And we walked around and we found a nature preserve. And that's some kind of screaming monkey there flying through the trees. But that was some time we had together to get and talk about what had happened, to kind of download our feelings. And we were all on a little bit of a high because it was like the Lord showed up, showed out, and we were participants in His glory. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And this is, we're headed home. I said, I'll never forget. And I was forever changed, and I am. I think we both were. That was one of the things that we talked about. You can't go to a place like that and not come back changed and change for the better. So there are, here's Lake Victoria. That was an area that we walked around in Tabby.
That's as close to the beach as you get.
Yeah, that's as close to the beach as we got. But one of the things you need to remember or think about, there's a lot of opportunities coming up for serving in Uganda, Rwanda, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and in Kenya. It's kind of expensive. You have to prepare for it. It took me quite a while. I just finished paying for it. But I wouldn't give anything for it. And these are some of the upcoming opportunities. As you can see, Changwali, March 14th through 23rd, it's actually the 13th, that they're leaving. The dates are kind of flexible depending on what the airline's flight, you know, how much it costs, is what day you go. But these are some of the things that they have planned out. And there'll be more in the fall. They come out. David, make sure to get in there and add some more dates as it comes up. But if you have any inkling that you might like to go, please see me, TJ, or Tony, or David, because we can give you more information. I am the missions team lead here, so I have information about shots. The only thing you have to have is the yellow fever. I'm a pro-vaxxer. I've got like 7 shots, y'all. But I didn't worry about any monkeys biting me. Tony went to a different place, and when she's telling you they wanted her to have that, that was part of their selling strategy. We didn't see a single monkey other than we went to this preserve. I didn't see any animals much at all. But if you think about it and you pray about it and it's something you want to do, please let us know, because we can help you with that and help you make those decisions.
We are about to wrap this up. You know how it feels when you're dealing with something in your life and you're flipping through the Bible and you come upon the verse that God wrote just for you, to you, at the time you need it. I couldn't believe that I found this verse when I was doing all that struggling. It's from Romans chapter 1, starts with verse 10. It says, one of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last, even though you're afraid of Africa, to see you. For I long to visit you so that I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. And the rest of it says, and that you can share with me. So I want to just end on that note, that if you think you're going to Africa to help the Africans, you're going to help yourself too. So thank y'all so much for this opportunity.
Again, thank you so much, and we'll turn it over to David.
Well, thank you, ladies. It's going to be hard to say much after that anyway, so I won't. I do want to start off, though, telling you that there's nothing we do in Africa is any more important than the mission work that's going on here. And I think TJ does a wonderful job of letting us know, keeping us abreast of it's all about the kingdom, right? Now, and when you get to heaven, you know, God is no respecter of persons. If you seek Him with all your heart, you're going to find Him. And if you don't, you're going to, you know, you're not. And it says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many find that. Narrow is the gate that leads to salvation. And that's the gate. We want to go through the narrow gate, right? And the reason that I'm so passionate about this ministry and the people you've listened to are so passionate is the people over there are broken. And even though we don't like to wrap our minds and hearts around it, brokenness is absolutely necessary. And last week, teacher, who was that guy you talked about, that pastor? Joshua. How many of y'all went home last week and wondered why TJ even brought up that guy that was all faithful to the Lord and all of a sudden turned away? Jan and I got in the car, and we hadn't been 5 minutes, 5 seconds down the road, and she said, "Why'd TJ say that this morning?" You know, because we're sitting here, we're thinking, hey, we do everything right. You got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You cannot, you know, you think of King Solomon. I always think, gosh, how wise, the wisest man ever. And at the end of his life, he turned away because he started following the gods of his 900 concubines. And so brokenness is absolutely necessary. And the people there are broken, even me myself. I had a grandfather that made sure that I was, my foundation was in the church and in Jesus. But then I got all struggling. And God broke me twice. He broke me first psychologically. And then the second time he broke me physically. And without that brokenness, I don't know. Well, I know my grandfather, praise God, that he got me a firm foundation. And praise God that he gave me a godly wife that helped me find my way back. But the people over there, guys, they are broken. And what's wonderful about that is not only are they broken, but because we look different and come from a different place, they listen to us. I teach middle schoolers. How much listening to me you think they do? But I go over there, and it's like every word that comes out of our mouth, they're holding on to. Well, that's a responsibility and a potential pitfall, too. And that's why I did worry the stuff out of TJ to get him over there, because once I started sitting under you, TJ, I knew that you were right for that position. TJ actually is our men's director, coordinator for getting the right people to go over. I'm leaving, I guess, 10 days from now. Is this the 3rd? I'm leaving on the 13th. I'm going to Kenya for our first ever conference there. It's going to be like the numbers, last numbers I heard was 230 pastors in one place and 150 in the other. I'm not a discipleship leader, so I was frustrated TJ couldn't go, but I understand why he couldn't go. But we have a good team. I've got four seasoned pastors that are going to be leading that. I'm just going to be the handsome face that sits up there and talks. You got to do what you're good at, right? I'm lying up here on this podium. but anyway, also the danger is, as these people are broken, the enemy's there. In Changwali, when I first went in 2015, the Muslim influence was very, very small. It's growing. And so you know the enemy's, if someone's broken, it's going to get filled up. So what's it going to be filled with? That's why, as we're a kingdom church, we look for opportunities to where the harvest is plentiful, and it is there. 5 years from now, maybe someone else, somewhere else, and we have to be in tune to that, right? We got to be close enough to God that when he shows us an opportunity. And I didn't end up here by accident. This church is critical. Shane there, he's on our board. Wayne has taken me countless times to save us about $500 back and forth. TJ is our coordinator. These two ladies are invaluable. And then we even took Kenny, what's his last name?
Bartlett.
Kenny Bartlett, yeah. We even got some contribution out of Kenny. So any skill you have, anything that you are good at can be used. We're going, we go June and July, and then and I would love to have you in June, July, but my desire, and I think TJ shares this, is we need to put together a conference of people from our church. The team that's going over to Uganda, the reason I'm not going there is they basically have one church that's going to do the whole training. We could do that, guys. And just think about how much more effective we would even be here after doing that. Now, I'll end with telling you a couple of ways you can support us. First and foremost, please pray, okay? I'm leaving on the 13th. I'll get there on the 15th, and we'll be there for 10 days doing two conferences in a place that I don't have the history there that I did do in Uganda and Congo. So pray that God shows up and shows out like he always does there to help us with that. And there's prayer cards back there. So if you go back to the table, you can just pick up a prayer card and kind of give you an outline of how you can pray for us. Second thing is you can go. please go. If you're thinking about it at all. If I, you know, I told you guys, you don't even have to wear, take any underclothes. Don't even worry about it. You know, over there, you're not going to take a shower every day. Unless you, well, I guess you can if you fight for the shower. I don't care. I take about two. Janet takes three. So we don't worry about that too much. But it's that part is not, those things are minuscule. So the second thing is go. The third thing is you can support us financially. I try to make sure Shane keeps us in on point with that. But guys, money is not really what's needed. Now, it takes money to do some of the things there, but money is not the focus. The focus is using the money to do what God has called us to do. Because money, well, I'll say this, in Congo, where our leader's from, he said in the last couple of decades, billions with a B, billions of dollars have been spent over there, and they're no better off than they were before the money came. And he said the reason is they're trying to solve a spiritual problem with a secular game plan. You know, the greatest need is Jesus. And so TJ was there with me when we got this vision from God through Benson to help. Like, we need to work through the church. He said that education can't solve teenage pregnancy. Education can't solve tribalism and abuse of women. The only thing that can solve that is Jesus through his church. And that's what we're able to do. And any way you can support. Also, back there we have some shirts, short sleeve, long sleeve, and hoodies. So also I got two bags of coffee. One of our partners gave us some gourmet coffee from Ethiopia. I don't drink coffee. They're coffee seed. Yeah, that's what they are. They're those. So, you know, any of that stuff. But we would just love to have you guys to join us in any way. And thank you so much for your support already.
Well, thank you all so much for sharing. You know, it's good to hear these stories. Thank you again as a church body, church family, for praying and supporting us as we went. I'm upset I can't go in March. I'm very upset. I told Lane, who's from Arkansas, I said, man, I think if I keep going every time, I won't have a church to come back to because God's called me here, right? But I can promise you, if the Lord willing, I will be there in October. And I'd love for y'all to go too. And I know that many of you are probably thinking what I was thinking about the impossibility of it. It's not that difficult. People want to be invested in kingdom stuff. And if God wants you to go, you'll go. I can promise you that. And so I would just encourage you to seriously pray, not just for the Ministry of Love Africa, but pray, God, what's my role in this? We will continue to love and support and do ministry here. If you never jump on a plane to go anywhere, that's not the point of this, right? But what if God's saying go? Would you go? I'll ask our worship team to come up. I'm going to pray for us. But be sure you see David on your way out. Pick up a shirt. I will say this as they're coming up too. Our church values missions and the fact that we give a lot of money towards our children's programs and equipping and training them. But our value for missions is not as reflected in our budget as it needs to be. And I'm praying through this as your pastor, and I just want to kind of just say this. No one should ever not be able to go because of money. And I believe that God has put Pioneer Church in a position, as small as we are, God has blessed our church. He's blessed our church financially. He has blessed us with resources that if you feel a tug to go and you feel like money's an issue, come talk to me. We will make sure that you go. All right. And so I just want you to continue to pray, even as you leave here today. Lord, what is my part in what you are doing in Africa? Let me pray for us, and then we'll worship and we'll be done. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time today. I know a little bit different than normal worship service, but
Lord, I do believe that you've been glorified because we have had the opportunity and the privilege to just share the beauty and the wonderfulness of going and being your hands and feet. And Father, I know that for most of us, Lord, we probably haven't thought anything about this until this morning. I know the temptation to go on about the rest of our day and not give consideration to it again is very real, Lord. But Father, I just ask that, Lord, you would accomplish in every person's heart here what you want to accomplish concerning this subject. Lord, would you remind us of a privilege it is to be able to talk to others about you? There's a lot of different things we strike up conversations with people over, and none of it's going to matter in eternity. But Father, as your people, you've given us the opportunity to share news that literally changes and transforms lives. The news that a God loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to bear our penalty for our sin and die in our place. And as difficult as it may seem to have that conversation here, Lord, would you allow us to go to a place, Lord, where there is a hunger for your gospel that can't be explained? Lord, I believe that many of us, God, we need to go be encouraged through the receptivity of the gospel in another place so that we can come back here. And Lord, we can give out, Lord, what we gave out there. And so whatever it is, God, you want to do in this church, Lord, we want to just tell you we're willing. We ask that as you lead us, God, we would be obedient. You give us courage. And Father, that we would obey and then just see how you're working. Now, Lord, as we end our time together this morning, I pray that what we offer to you in this worship would be pleasing in your sight. In Christ's name, amen.